It's pretty good. It really is. When I deer hunt, I haven't hunted a whole lot this year by my standards, but when I do, a lot of times, I have this a Bible. It's Gina Gant got me a waterproof Bible. It weighs a ton, but it's awesome to have outside. But it's only the New Testament and Psalms, but a lot of times I'll read, when I'm in the woods, I'll read a whole book of the Bible, you know, the whole book of the New Testament, just at one setting. I don't have an Old Testament with me, but I will tell you, if you get a chance to read, and it's only 85 verses, read the book of Ruth from chapter 1 and just read through till you get done. I don't think it'd take you 15 minutes, and you'll get the whole context of this. This is a beautiful story. Tonight we're going to be in Ruth chapter 2 for the most part. In the first chapter, we saw the heartache of Ruth, and we saw the heartache of Naomi. Naomi lost her husband and her two sons. Ruth, one of her sons was Ruth's husband, so they lost him. But as Ruth, her mother-in-law made a decision to go back to Bethlehem, Ruth, who was a Moabitess from Moab, obviously, chose to go with her mother-in-law, Naomi, and she was just tremendously loyal. Loyal and just, you know, she was just going to stay there. But then as we come to this chapter, and really the main thrust of this book is Ruth's redemption. And the story that is here is often used as a picture and a type of redemption that we have in Christ. Now, in agreeing to go back to Bethlehem with Naomi, Ruth is agreeing to help support her aging mother-in-law. She's saying, I'll take care of you. I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to take care of you. She seems to be, I don't think she's all that old myself, but she evidently is very strong. And so she went back to the fields, gleaning what the harvesters had left behind in order to provide grain to somehow eke out an existence or a living for her and her mother-in-law. Now, biblical law established this as a means by which even the most destitute in Israel, listen, could earn a living. Go back with me to Leviticus chapter 19 just for a moment. And this is how it worked, actually. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of the field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of the harvest of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean any vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. And if you look at chapter 23 of Leviticus and verse number 22, you find the same thing. And when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor and to the stranger. I am the Lord your God. Deuteronomy chapter 24 required that when a field is harvested, whatever fell should be left behind. Now, let me say something. I said this a moment ago, but I'm going to say it again. The biblical law that was established was a means for those that were destitute in Israel to earn a living. It wasn't just handed to them. They had to go out into the field, and what was ever there, they had to glean it. When fruit was picked from trees and vines, some of it was left unplucked, and the remains were free to be harvested by anybody who was willing to do the work. There's a lot of people today that don't want to do the work, and quite honestly, in America, our government has made it profitable for them not to do the work. But you ought to desire to do the work. In fact, if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you'll find, as you go through there, and it says this is vanity and this is vanity, you will find that one of the main ways of happiness and satisfaction in a person's life is their work. It's not all their other things that they do. It's certainly not welfare or whatever else people get. Now, I think most of you know this. Have you ever noticed the lifestyle of the Indians that are on the reservations that the government has just ruined? Because everything is a handout. And most of it goes for drugs and alcohol and gambling. And it's but that's not really the biblical philosophy. Workfare and not welfare seems to be what the Bible teaches. And so Ruth evidently had enough energy and enough dignity about herself that when she saw what was left in the fields, she was going to go out and reap them. By the way, those were her only options. She didn't live in America. Her options weren't to go down across from the DMV and wait in line there and pick a number and eventually get called up and they'll say, this is what we'll give you. That wasn't an option. Her only relative in the whole area was Naomi. She was from Moab, which quite honestly, as we looked at last week, was not what you'd call the most spectacular city where or country where anybody would want to come from. Naomi's next of kin weren't even close enough to be legally obligated to support her. And so with no other means, Ruth saw the necessity of working the barley fields. And that's what verses 1 and 2 were about when we read there in the second chapter there. She got permission. This is interesting, I find. Go back and look at verses 1 and 2. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto the look what she said. Let me now go to the field. It's almost like she asked permission. And glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And so she asked for permission. She gets permission and goes and begins to work. As it were, and you can have your own conclusion on this, she gleaned in one of Boaz's fields. And he saw her. And she caught his eye. Now, I don't think that was happen chance. I think that was the providential hand of God at work in this young lady's and in her mother-in-law's life. In verse 3, she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz. But notice the next phrase, who was a kindred of Elimelech. Now that's important. It just wasn't anybody. It was a kinsman. Proverbs 16:33 says this, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. And I think the Lord had something to do in this. The providence of God, I think, is on display. There is no such thing as luck. Sometimes when guys go fishing or hunting, they say, well, have good luck. Have a good luck. How do they say? I don't even know how they say that. But anyway, good luck. Maybe that's all they say is good luck. But whatever. There is no such thing as luck or fate. Not for a believer. Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good to them that love God. So God somehow works all things together. It just so happens, I guess you might say, that Boaz visited that day to see the progress of the harvest. And when he happens to get there that day, he happens to notice Ruth, who he took an interest in. She was an able woman. She was a diligent woman. She was out there, and she's working. Verse 5. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers. That's like the foreman. Whose damsel is this? He says, because he'd noticed her. He'd never seen her before. The servant that was over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And so he notices her, and she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. She had asked that guy for permission. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. She did take a little break in there, as everybody else does anyway, but she had worked pretty much all day. Now, Boaz realized that this woman was a relative by marriage, so he began to show her special favor. That was what verse 8 was that you read. Boaz, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. So Ruth, he says, you stay right here. And then in verse 9, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And so he begins to show her some favor. Now Ruth was moved by his gentle kindness and his generosity toward her. And so in verse 10, She fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Now that question in the middle of the verse, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Do you ever think about you asking that question to God? God, why have you given me grace? I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I'm not really worthy of it. But yet, you gave it to me anyways. And Ruth asked Boaz that question. And then in verse 11, Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath been fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the day of thine husband, of the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come to the people which thou knewest not heretofore. And then he says, The Lord recompense thy work. You notice that work again. And a full reward be given thee of the Lord of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Her faithfulness, her great sacrifice, her dedication to Jehovah God had really impressed Boaz. And the blessing of verse 12, when he says, Under whose wings thou art come to trust, the full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, really reveals what a godly man that Boaz is. And her response is equally gracious and shows genuine humility in verse 13 when she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. At first sight, Boaz seemed, I don't know, smitten by Ruth. He saw her, and it's like, wow. Who is this damsel? He hears all about her. He's got quite an interest in her. If you read verses 14 through 16, I won't read them again. But he lightened her load, and he increased the reward of it. He even told the guys that were harvesting the field, make sure you let some fall on purpose so Ruth can come along and pick it up without a whole lot of effort here. So she still worked all day, verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephod of barley. That shows her work ethic. That shows her integrity. She works all day long. That's about that amount of food right there. That's about 5 days worth of food. She gave some of it to her mother-in-law, verse 18. And Naomi asked the question, and her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be that didn't take advantage of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Now, Naomi recognized that right away. And when Ruth told Naomi the name of the man, Boaz, Naomi saw the hand of God in that blessing. And you ought to see the hand of God in that blessing as well. Now, the kinsman, in Hebrew, by the way, that's the word goel, it's spelled in the English, G-O-E-L. And it really means one who came to rescue. It includes the idea of redemption and the idea of deliverance. And so that's why we say here is the story of redemption. Among other things, he could buy back family land sold in times of hardships, according to Leviticus 25. He could pay the redemption price for family members sold into slavery. Or, if he was a single man or a widower and eligible to marry, he could revive the family lineage when someone died without an heir by marrying the widow and fathering offspring who would inherit the name and the property when the older men died. By the way, it was expected of a brother who was single, if his brother died, it was expected that the brother that was living would marry his brother's. Yeah, that. Thank you. I find that kind of weird, to be honest with myself. But that was like expected of them to do that. So this was known as the law of... it has a fancy name, and I forgot it. But anyway, some kind of a fancy name. It's like a marriage within the family there. If a brother died, that surviving brother, Deuteronomy 25, would marry her. And it was seen as his duty. Man, that's weird. I just think that's weird. The Old Testament placed an awful lot of emphasis on the role of this kinsman redeemer or this goel. There is a significant redemption aspect to this person's function. Every kinsman redeemer is a living illustration of the position and work of Christ with respect to his people. And that's why you hear that preached from this more than any other thing. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer who keeps us back from our bondage to sin. He redeems our lives from death. He returns to us everything that we lost because of our sin. Boaz will become Ruth's goal or her kinsman redeemer. He will redeem her life from poverty and widowhood, and he will be her deliverer. And that is exactly what Jesus is for us, and that's who Boaz is going to be for Ruth. Now, Naomi, she recognized this. I mean, she caught right on to this. She said, oh, Boaz, he's related. She knew. And she grasped a hold of a potential of this glad turn of events at the very moment she learned it was Boaz who had taken an interest in Ruth. Listen, this poor lady, these ladies have been through an awful lot of heartache in their life. And so finally now, she saw something awesome that was happening. He was not only a kinsman, he was a wealthy kinsman. He had the means to redeem her. Do you know what the word redeem means? It means to buy back. And so he had the wealth to buy her back. Now, you know, don't go crazy with this, but if Ruth was looking for a guy, this is the guy she's looking for, all right, right here. Naomi encouraged Ruth to follow Boaz's instructions and stay strictly in his fields. Notice again verse 20. Naomi said unto her, she saw it, and to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Isn't it a blessing what God can do in our lives? Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. Don't go anywhere else, she says. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz till glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest. I don't really know how long that was, but and dwelt with her mother-in-law. I have a friend who's a farmer, Roy Regner. Some of you buy beef off him. He has like 900 acres that he combines, and quite a while ago, he started combining his soybean, he did all of his soybean, and then he goes into his corn, and I got a text from him today, the harvest season is over, and I'm headed south. He's not really headed south, but so however long this harvest season was, Ruth is working in the fields all this time. Now, I'm going to pick up with this story next week in chapter 3. But I want you to take a good look at this. The Lord intervenes in the life of Ruth in a marvelous way. I mean, she went through some hard times. She lost her husband. She lost a brother-in-law. Her mother-in-law is, you know, her only one that she has. And of course, she's got a relationship with Jehovah God, I know. But she's headed up to Bethlehem. And she's only, you know, she doesn't really have anybody else. And all of a sudden, she gets there. And if you can't see the providential hand of God in this, you have to be blind, quite honestly. I mean, what a blessing. She was loyal, and God honored that. I hope you will believe this. God honors loyalty. God honors faithfulness. God honors diligence. God honors hard work. Now, Ruth had all of those things. She really, really did. And she was generous. I mean, she brought all that food home and gave it to her mother-in-law. God honors generosity, too. She was diligent. She wasn't lazy. She had strength of character. And, you know, she just kept working. And you notice this in verse 23, and I don't know how long that was. But she endured the whole harvest season. She just kept at it. Now, if we could get people in the White House to realize that we don't need to be given handouts all the time. You know, give them a garbage bag. Let them walk up and down the streets. I got to tell you a quick story, then I got to close. It's amazing how many people come to the church looking for handouts. I probably told you this before, but I'm going to tell you again. Don't interrupt me, all right, if you've heard this story. But anyway, I was This lady came over to the office, and she needed some money. She wanted $25. Well, first of all, we never give anybody money. But I said, well, I'm not giving you any money, but I'll tell you what. I can get you some gas in your car, but our flower beds, and Ruth, you weren't taking care of them at the time. I said, our flower beds need weeding. So if you'll weed those flower beds, I'll give you $25. Oh, my knees are bad. My back is bad. My elbow's bad. And you know what I said? And I shouldn't have said this, but I can get in the flesh too. And I said, and my pen is bad and it won't work today. Have a nice day. And I thought to myself, why did I say that? But anyway, I did. I probably handed her a gospel tract on the way out the door and she probably tore it up or whatever. But listen, God is into workfare, not welfare. And, you know, learn to work and earn your money and earn your keep and pay your bills and try to pay them on time if you can. You know, God honors that too. He really does. So let's pray. Father, Ruth is an awesome woman. I mean, awesome woman. And Naomi is right up there as well. But the truth is, we see you working in her life. We see the providential hand of God all over her, quite honestly. And Lord, we take great comfort in that. You're always with us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. The hard times that you bring in our life, they're not there to hurt us. They're there to help us. And Lord, afterwards, you yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And we see the blessings that you are going to bestow upon Ruth and Naomi for her loyalty and their dedication and their hard work. And they're just good, godly ladies. And we all can learn some things from them. They're not lazy. They're hard workers. It's a refreshing story. It really is. And we thank you and praise you for it being recorded in the Bible. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I want to check something real quick.